Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. This is Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
And John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are with you for another summertime episode of the Student Ministry Podcast. It's good to be with you. I hope that you are enjoying your summer thus far, that there's no sunburn, only suntans in your life right now. Physically and metaphorically.
No burns,
only tans for you. If you haven't left a rating and review, we would love to see it, and it helps other people find the podcast as they search for Student Ministry Podcasts on iTunes. We're also on Spotify. Thanks, producer Nathan. Glad to be there.
Cheers to you.
Yes, absolutely. Woo-hoo. So here is the topic for today: finding rest in the summer. Now, for student ministry, you might hear that phrase and immediately begin to scoff. You're laughing scoffily right now, I think is the word I would like to make up.
Scoffily.
Yeah, you're scoffily laughing because the idea of rest for you in summer just doesn't make sense. But we're here to help. Right?
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Ready.
We want to talk today about six ways that you can find rest in the summer, because here's what we know about summer and student ministry. It's super busy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot that you want to take advantage of because students are out of school and you want to be able to maximize relational time there. And here's what we also know, that summer goes straight into fall. And fall is a time where you need to be on target as well, because you're going to be launching back into school, fall ministry, and everything needs to start with all cylinders doing what cylinders do.
Firing, even.
Firing. I'm not a car guy. But they need to be pumping and firing and ready to rock come fall. So summertime, like there's no downtime. Is what it feels like. And going into the fall is more no downtime. So we want to help you carve out some time this summer and find some ways to rest along the way.
And the truth is, in ministry, you can make an excuse to not rest every single week of the year. There's always somebody that has need of you and your attention in ministry. And it's just one of those things. But summertime, man, to go all summer and not rest at all does not make any sense, because you couldn't be primed any better to take a vacation and get away with your family, get a little bit of rest in the summertime when school's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Everybody else is kind of in this mode. Why would you just blaze through and totally miss this opportunity to take care of yourself and to take care of your family and to prepare yourself to be a better pastor to the people that God has called you to shepherd.
Man, how about this? Finding excuses to not rest and just work more and more and more and more and more doesn't make you holier.
That's right.
So, like, let's dispel that right away, because I think some people wear the haven't taken a vacation in X or I work X amount of hours a week, wear that as like a holy badge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. No.
You're going to burn out.
Yeah, it's a burnout badge.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the countdown timer to imminent doom.
The imminent doom. So if you are finding excuse, and I think this is a heart thing, like we say it kind of jokingly, but it's reality. Like, there are some of you listening to this that your hours and non-rest is worn as a badge of I'm doing ministry and this is a holy thing for me, and so I'm just going to do this until imminent doom happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is not the right approach.
No. And it's like, if you're using the words grind, hustle, like whatever with that badge, like those are good keywords that like something probably needs to shift around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are times when it is a grind.
Yeah.
And there are moments when, so the other side of that argument is, don't use rest as a crutch to be lazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's the other side.
Boy, because you're dropping some bombs today.
I know, tweet that.
Because there real like there are, and I know this wasn't what you're saying. There are times when in student ministry you just have to buckle down and hustle your butt off.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then that is a reflection of how seriously you're treating the situation.
Yeah.
So I think we have to find ourselves not in the I work so much, so that makes me a good pastor,
mm-hmm.
and I need to rest so I can be lazy.
Yeah.
But we've got to find where that spot is in a healthy, like I'm not even going to say balance because there's seasons in ministry, but we have to find the healthy place where we do take rest so that when those times of hustle come, we're ready to kill it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about a couple of people specifically whom I will not name, but that are, they just, that's the way they're built. And there's a lot of us that are that way. We thrive on work. We like to work. We like to run hard.
Yeah. And I mean, that's good.
It's a good thing. You should. It's an example that's been given to us. If we're doing everything that we do as unto the Lord, then we're going to do it with the best of our ability, with all of our strength, depending on the Lord, asking him to move and work. So let me give you an out here, or maybe a different perspective for taking rest. You resting could also be seen as you working to make sure that you are healthy enough to do the rest of your job well.
I like that.
So if you have a hard time and you think, man, I can't just take a break, you know, listen, everything's not going to fall apart. But it is true that if you will work hard at making sure that your personal health, your inner life with Christ, whatever you want to call it, your family life, who was it? Somebody tweeted the other day, so many pastors have thriving ministries and dying families.
Mm.
Those are things you have to work on as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And so if that's your struggle, put that in the work category. I'm going to work toward health and wellness and wholeness of my family.
Yeah.
Just as much as I'm going to work on the
because
other.
Because it does take effort.
Oh, yeah.
Like the stuff we're going to talk through is easy to talk through and put on a piece of paper, but it takes effort to really see it come to fruition.
Yeah. And it takes work, like working ahead and being prepared to take some time and things like that, too. There's a struggle, too, I think probably for a lot of you that a lot of times rest doesn't happen because you don't see it happening in the leadership above you.
Mm.
And so you feel like you have to work to the same degree that you see everybody else around you. You know, but maybe you know, when's the last time you asked, like, hey, you know, can I take a day? Like, I need a personal day, or like I need the afternoon off. Like, if you're not asking for those things, chances are, unless you've just got some incredible, you know, leader and you know, ahead of you, you know, and hopefully that is the case. But people aren't looking around going, oh, he looks tired. Like maybe he needs a day off or whatever that may be. But also if you're leading interns or a staff or whatever that looks like for you this summer, you've got to lead that out for them so that they're not burnt out by the end of the summer, you know, but they are getting some rest too. And so they're looking to you just like you're looking to your leadership. And so we've got to find a healthy spot in there to see what this looks like.
Something went through my mind when you said, oh, he looks tired. That connected to Jesus teaching about fasting, like when you fast, don't walk around somber and let people, you know, wear your sackcloth and look gaunt and like, don't let people see you in the act. Like it's a private thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I haven't done any study on this, so kind of dangerous just to go like wing the correlation right here. But I wonder if being tired in ministry can relate to that principle of, like, do we sometimes allow ourselves to be seen as tired as an attention-seeking mechanism to go to what we connected to go to what we talked about earlier and connected to that. So people think I'm working hard, or so that people tell me I need a break. Man, you just do so much, you need a break. Like I wonder if that can be a correlation between what Jesus teaches about fasting and
That reminds me of like what Dave McNeil says all the time, kind of fleshing out the difference between a pastor who is feeding the sheep and who is feeding off of the sheep.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
Seeking that attention, seeking that approval. I think that's very much a pitfall that we can fall into. Mary Margaret, you also made me think about in looking around and seeing somebody's tired. If you're a student pastor, student ministry leader that has a team of people, or even just as you lead laterally with the other people on your church staff, on your ministry teams, I think it's important to model this rest, like you said, and it made me think about this show that's on. It's an Amazon Prime show.
Mm.
Man, what is it called? It's the one where the camera crew is embedded with an NFL football team for a whole season. It's All or Nothing. So the first season of All or Nothing, the coach is not a believer, okay? But one of the things that coach said in one of the episodes that I thought was really cool is he looks at his coordinators, his assistant coaches, and he tells them, if you miss one of your kids' recitals or graduation ceremonies or field trips or something like that, I'll fire you.
Mm. Mm.
Wow.
It's like, man, that is a huge thing, especially from an NFL coach.
Yeah.
That, you know, talk about a grind.
Yeah.
Those are people that are working hard day and night during football season. And even somebody, I mean, this is secular wisdom, but he understands the importance of a strong family at home driving strong performance from those coaches that are leading these players.
Yeah. Man, that is.
That's good.
So I would say the correlation to that, because not every football coach is going to have that mindset, right?
Right.
And so I think there are going to be pastors who have that, and not every pastor is going to have that mindset either. So if we step back and say, okay, this isn't one of the six, maybe it needs to be seven, there needs to be a conversation with your pastor about this very topic, ideally on the front end of a relationship, right? But not all of you are in the middle of an interview process right now. But just to say, hey, Pastor, how do you incorporate rest and recharging into your schedule?
Mm-hmm.
What are some expectations that you have for me as my leader in regards to that for me?
Yeah.
So I think, man, understanding your leader's expectations in that is a huge part of finding rest and knowing when that's available.
Yeah.
So let's go. So that like we can make that number one. And so let's go to the old number one, the new number two is vacation. Just take a vacation.
There it is.
The second way to find rest in the summer is taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Now, I think let's break that down a little bit, because I do think that when people hear the word vacation, their mind goes a lot of different places based on their own maybe childhood experiences in vacation or what they see other people in the church doing. So let's put some definition to this. I would say in the broadest sense, this is getting away to focus on yourself, your friends, or your family, as the case may be. So some of you are single adults leading student ministry, and there's some friends that you've got. Man, carve out some time to get away with some friends. Friends that are going to recharge you, friends that are going to encourage you. If you need to take time by yourself, maybe find a day or two to go in a, you know, seclude yourself away. Maybe that's writing time for you. I don't know. And then if you have a family, then family time. What other kind of structure would you guys put onto that vacation?
I would say that you need to be willing to put your phone down.
Yeah.
And have done the work leading up to your vacation to make sure the things that you're responsible for are going to be taken care of by someone else, or that they can be put off for a week, 2 weeks, whatever, however long your vacation is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that go on vacation and work the whole time, and that's not the same.
Yeah.
And I've heard a bunch of people say, listen, if I really didn't answer phone calls or emails for a week, I wouldn't come back to my job. Well, you got a bigger problem if that's the case. You haven't communicated well. You haven't set up any guidelines or boundaries. You know, there's some work that you need to do. If that's the way that you feel, then you've set yourself up poorly, probably.
I haven't delegated well. You've made it all resting on a person. Like, there are probably jobs in our country where that could be absolutely true.
Yeah.
There are probably very few of those.
It's not student ministry. It's not a youth pastor.
Yeah. Right.
We'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I just got back from vacation, and I was at the beach for a week with my family, like all my siblings, my nephew, my parents, my husband, like the whole nine yards. It was a lot of us. And I, when we left, like, and I really did, I worked ahead to make sure that several things, like, even, you know, for me, I oversee our LifeWire Girls social media accounts and, you know, our blog and things like that. So I made sure all of those things were set and loaded and ready to post, and, you know, that I let projects that I was working on, I let the teams know, like, hey, this is where I am, but I'm about to be out. And none of what I got email wise last week was emergency. Zero. Like, and I actually, because I know myself, I deleted my Gmail app because my work email is in my old Gmail app on my phone. I deleted it from my phone because I'll just compulsively look at it just because.
Yeah.
And I just know that about myself. So, like, did I check my email a couple of times last week? Yes. But it was on my computer. It was for about 3 minutes. And mainly it was just to clear out some of the junk so it didn't look like there were so many emails. But, like, none of it was urgent. You know, and I'm like, and I think even here, you know, Ben, you've set a good precedent for our team of just going, like, hey, if you really need to get a hold of somebody, text them or call them, you know, try that way. And so I'm like, everybody's got my number. There was nothing emergent, but I had to I had to cut myself some slack, but make sure I was prepared before I left. And it gave me a lot of freedom last week to just enjoy time with my family and not be worried about stuff that was happening back here.
Yeah. And I know this isn't summer, but during Christmas time, to this point, during Christmas time, Eric Geiger, when he was here and he was my boss, modeled this, and I've tried to model that to our team, is that we do have a blackout period that unless something crazy happens, we're not going to call each other. We're not going to text each during those during that Christmas time so that we can truly focus. I know that's not summer, so we're going to get back to summertime here.
Yeah.
But the principle is that when you take a vacation, make sure that you are locked into the people or the purpose in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that it's something that you have, again, prepared to do and set aside. And so this doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be 2-3 weeks long. Again, fit it to your context and what do, but that time away to breathe is really, really important.
Yeah, and I think vacation, it's so important. If you are married, your spouse understands that there's just a lot of sacrifices that are made from a spouse to support their spouse in the ministry that they're a part of.
Yeah.
Ministry makes us work hours that you wouldn't work if you were just working at a corporate office. And so there's a lot of nights, there's a lot of weekends, there's a lot of extra unexpected, hey, can you please be there for me? And so to ask them to sacrifice all year, and then to ask them to sacrifice the vacation that they've been looking forward to for the last 6 months as finally we're going to get away and I'm just going to have all of them, is incredibly selfish and disrespectful.
Yeah,
that's good.
So to be considerate of that, even if everything in you is just itching to do some work.
Yeah.
Part of that may need to be your own, I don't want to call that a sacrifice, suffering for Jesus on vacation, but that may need to be your mindset. Yeah. They do this for me all year long.
Yeah.
I'm going to be intentional to do this for them here and really make this count. I also think that's why when it's possible, a two-week vacation is a big deal because it takes me a week to quit thinking about work.
Yeah.
So the times that I've been able to take 2 weeks, that last week has been so incredibly freeing that you actually rest the second week.
Yeah. Right. Man, I was having a conversation with a pastor locally here in the Nashville area. And he's on a 4-week sabbatical right now. And listen, I know that's not available to everybody. They do a thing at their church where every 5 years their
That's what I'm talking about.
A sabbatical.
You know, I gave up my sabbatical at Liberty to come here to Lifeway.
Man,
thank you, John Paul, for your dedication and
sacrifice. It was coming up. That was my year. That was my year of the sabbatical.
Man, you should have said, I'll give it three more months. I'll leave at the end of the sabbatical. That would be lack of integrity, though. So I'm glad you didn't do that. But he said the exact thing that you did. He's in week two right now. And he said, I've just now got to the place where I feel like I can rest.
Yeah.
And so it does when you can do it. Now, a student pastor may not be able to do that time frame in the summer. So if you can't, then find a time frame that works for you. But if there is a gap that you can find, it will help you run with the energy and intensity you need to the other times when you're at camp and in Guatemala and doing all the stuff, right? All right, so number three, take a nap.
Take a nap, y'all.
For times when you don't have 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Take a nap. This sounds simple.
It's one of those things, like, you could look around and say, I'm not a nap taker. But, like, if you were to lay down and put your phone somewhere else, like, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like, what are the chances you'd fall asleep in the middle of summer? It's probably high.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's a super practical way. And I would put myself in the category of I'm not much of a nap taker. Like, it takes me a bit to fall asleep or whatever. And sometimes, like, if you wake up, I don't know if any of this is anybody, it might be just me, but if you wake up too early from a nap,
you
and
feel
like
worse.
You're just sweaty,
that's
and
terrible,
and you feel worse. I wake up sweaty from naps all the time, and so I just stopped taking them.
Where are you napping,
huh? Man, like a Sunday afternoon, you lay down and try to grab a little nap, and it's like. It's the worst.
Yeah, crank that air down.
Get you a fan.
Maybe that's the key. Or my kids come in and wake me up too soon. And you end up feeling worse, right? Yeah. But I think, so here's a super practical way to apply this. If you've had meetings and stuff at the church all morning and you've got a night event that's going to take place that you're going to be out with students or something's going to be going on now, like, this is not us saying, man, every Wednesday afternoon, just find a cool place in the church and go up to the baptistry area and take a nap. Like, that's not what we're saying, all right? No. This is summer. This is busy time. But if you've had busy day, night, morning meetings, and then you've got something else going on that night, man, if you can grab an hour to lay down, to rest, go home, find a place, then
I think
that's a good way to recharge and make sure you're ready to run that night. Now, again, like, I think there's some leading up that's involved here. Hey, pastor, this is my schedule for this week. I'm trying to carve out a little bit of time so I can be fresh on this Thursday night. We've had stuff. Can I grab a couple hours to go home on this Thursday afternoon? I've lined everything out.
Yeah.
That's just wise leading up. Now, you don't have to say, I'm going to be taking a nap from 1:30
please
to
don't
2:45.
Call me.
But grabbing some time to carve out, and that shows good leadership.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you where the place to take a nap is in most every church. It's going to be the prayer room.
That's the truth.
That prayer room, because it's already kind of dark. You know, they've already got it set up for the right atmosphere.
Yeah. And they're always really, like, cold, like, cool feeling.
Uh-huh. Comfortable couches. There's seating. You know, your prayer room's probably not just a bunch of kneeling benches.
Did we do that?
We did
one year?
Multiple years.
I thought that it was coming back to me. I was like, I think we did
this
that.
Sounds like a familiar nap.
This was a regular thing during Super Summer.
That's right.
Which is one of those. We would hold this event at our church. We'd have 600-700 kids on campus for Super Summer, and it was all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. I mean, at the church at 7 and leaving the church at 11.
Yeah.
And we would stop and
take a nap,
just
in the
go chill
room.
In the prayer
right.
room.
There you go.
Which I'm always self-conscious about because I snore. So I'm like, man, we're going to go take a group nap in the prayer room. I got to wait for everybody else to fall asleep first.
Man, I had forgotten about that, and I'm so glad we did that.
Me too.
It helped. Number three, take a nap.
Take a nap.
Number four, date your spouse.
Mm.
All right. So this isn't going to apply to everybody because some of you are leading student ministry from a single standpoint, right?
Yeah.
But
just date anybody.
If you, that's right.
Just take somebody on a date.
Find a date.
Yeah. we can focus in on married student ministry leaders at this point. You need to have, and I'm talking more than once, carve out some time to date your spouse in the summer. It will go along, we would say, all year.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
Once a month, even.
Don't stop doing that in the summer months.
Yeah.
This is essential for you to continue connecting and carving out that time.
Yes.
This is just one of those intentional moments. I'm going to make sure, and listen, 2 hours to go out, grab some dinner, have coffee. But I would say in the middle of all the crazy, don't make your date a movie. Like, y'all might really enjoy movies, going to movies together. But make these dates intentional connection time where you talk. And
totally agree.
Put a little work into it and show up to the date. Listen, you've been married for 11, 12, 22 years. It don't matter. Show up to that date with some questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got some books out there that are just full of questions, conversation starters. That will help you. And I found a really good one that's got four levels. And so level one is like the icebreaker. That's what you do with, you know, somebody's coming over for dinner you never had at your house before. And then two, three, and by the time you're getting into four, this is like the meat. I mean, you're getting into it.
Yeah.
Grab one of those things and pop off five of those questions at dinner just to stimulate some new conversation so that you don't just talk about the next student ministry event.
Yeah.
I was about to ask you, the student ministry conversation off the table?
I mean, I don't think it's off the table, but when it's the only thing you talk about, then it sometimes isn't as restful as it could be. You end up working and brainstorming about ministry, which you're in together.
Yeah.
But take a break. You know, take
Talk
a break.
About something else.
Focus. Learn something about your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, mine the heart and the mind of the person that you're with there. My friend Robert has that thing, and the last several times that we've been over at their house, I've taken pictures in that book on my phone and just saved them for dates.
Yeah. Man, I love that idea. All right, so date your spouse. Yes. Number five.
And put your phone away while, you, like, again, like, just one
unless
more
you're
opportunity.
Reading questions off of it.
Yes, unless you're reading questions off it. But, like, just make that, even if it's an hour and a half, like, put your phone away for an hour and a half, you know, and really focus in on where you are. It'll go a long way.
Go play a round of golf with your spouse.
Yes.
Golf.
If that's your contact.
If that's your
which
thing.
It would be.
It would be mine.
It would be yours.
Yes.
For him.
Mm-hmm.
He would.
It's a bit of a sacrifice for me. Let's just be honest. I'm not good.
Is it fun? I started to say, do you fun at golf?
Do you fun golf?
It depends. I don't like it when it's super hot outside and it's real hot right now, but
it's just sweaty.
Yeah. I probably should take
sweaty
a lesson.
Golf, sweaty nap.
Yeah. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I have cool clubs. So
I am putting my golf clubs, tomorrow's trash day as we record this, and I'm putting my golf bag on the curb.
No. Why?
Because I haven't used them in 5 years.
You're going to one
Jonathan
day.
Jonathan will sell those bad boys for you.
Man. And then, well, they're not.
They're not worth anything.
No. And then the last, so 5 years ago when I used them, we went with our leadership team. I think it was before you were here.
Yeah.
And I took the first club out of my bag to swing it, and the grip like disintegrated into my hands because it had been so long since it like, they'd been in the garage for it, and so they were all sticky and gross, and I was like,
you can get new grips.
This is the worst.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap, too.
This is the worst experience that I've ever had.
So you're just done. You never want to play golf again.
I think I'm done with golf. I'm terrible. It just makes me angry. It makes me mad. It makes me want to say bad words, and so I want to remove it from my life.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't cuss, but if somebody wrote it down, I'd
sign
my name to it.
I'd sign my name to it. I've had those moments. All right, number five, relax with students. So this is something that John Paul, you've mentioned before, and that's you don't always have to be finding activities to do with students in the summer.
Yeah. Just have them to your house. Tell them to bring the food.
Yeah. Stop on the way. Bring stuff.
Get your own food.
Yeah.
Go to Taco Bell. Go to Burger King. Show up at my house. We're going to find a movie on Netflix that's got an appropriate rating.
That's right.
Or we'll call your parents and ask for permission to watch Slaughterhouse 14.
Is that one?
No,
is that something
no,
on
I don't
there?
Know.
Just made it up.
Yeah, it sounds like a great student.
Yeah.
But, I think that's so good because in student ministry, like, we get into the habit of saying we've got to program everything.
Yeah.
And, man, a great way for you to rest in the summer is to find something restful and involve teenagers.
Come over to my house and watch the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
We used to have bring your own meat nights. And, like, you would bring either a burger or a steak or a piece of chicken. And, like, one of the guys would get out there and grill it all. But, like, so it wasn't, like, a lot of
BYOM.
Prep. BYOM nights.
I love that.
And that was a Keith Harmon original.
Was it?
It was.
Nice.
I think this is an easy, restful, yet productive relationship building student ministry thing that you can do. Just hang out.
Mm-hmm. Ask your spouse before you invite everybody over. But
that's a good point.
Once that is cleared, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Or do it at somebody else's house. Y'all all go over to Corbin's house and watch the NBA Finals.
When parents are offering up their big old houses, take them up on it.
And then you don't have to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
I think leaders here too.
Yeah.
Carve out maybe a moment in the summer. Do the bring your own meat leader extravaganza.
Mm-hmm. Meat feast.
Man, I grilled on Memorial Day, did ribs on the smoker, and I thought about you.
Yeah.
And by you, I mean John Paul. You guys aren't in here with us, so you couldn't see the eye contact. But John Paul and I used to do meat feasts on those holidays, and it was a good time. Those ribs were good.
We should have a leadership team meat feast sometime.
We should. We should do that. Number six, use other leaders to facilitate people getting together. So this would be a delegation thing. You don't have to be at it all.
No.
Use your volunteers. Coach them on having a small group thing in the summer, fellowship deal. You don't have to go to it all.
And when a leader comes to you with an idea of something they think you ought to do or implement, like, just look at them and say, hey, I'd love for you to run with that. Like, if they've got some big idea.
That is such a great phrase.
You know, of something that they think would be a great idea, let them run with it. And maybe that could be some stuff this summer, just having people over in their homes or, you know, doing some, like, go play putt-putt golf or go to the water park or whatever. I don't know. But
well, and we can put a couple of these together. So you're thinking, I don't have time for vacation. This is my one, you know, summertime is my opportunity to connect in ways that I really like to. School is not in the way. Go on vacation and leverage your leaders to have some of these easy, relaxed, chill time with students while you're gone. And then you can tell your pastor, I'm going on vacation, but while I'm gone, I got 12 leaders having kids over at their house.
Yeah.
One of them's watching the NBA Finals. One of them's having a meat feast. One of them's meeting a group of kids at the mall. They're just going to eat at the food court and just kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're doing all this stuff. All this stuff is happening. Yeah. And I'm going to go invest in my marriage so I can be a great team player, staff member when I get back.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Agreed.
I'm particularly interested in this last one, Ben.
Number seven.
This is a Ben Trueblood hallmark.
Enjoy a hobby.
The enjoyment of a hobby.
Yeah.
Ben is the hobbyist.
Kristen will say my hobby is collecting hobbies.
So I have experienced through you several hobbies. I've taken part in some of them with you.
Yes.
I would like to know. I think I know your top two hobbies that you're still mostly involved in now.
Okay. What would you say they are?
I think your top two would be gaming.
Yeah.
As you guys can see him doing that on his Twitch channel.
Wow. Look at that.
What is
Flashbang _CSN?
Flashbang. You still
shameless, shameless plug.
He's also got hats.
Yeah.
Flashbang hats.
I do.
So you can watch him there. Donate if you choose. The other one that I think would be at the top is hunting, specifically duck hunting.
Yeah.
That you really love, although you can't do that all the time. So that's very much
we're out of season right now.
Seasonal hobby.
Yeah.
So as to not pay the fines. I would like to know. Did I hit the top two?
Yeah.
CrossFit, I think, would be a third, but I feel like it's a distant third in, like, the true enjoyment, like, this fills me up.
Yeah, I think so. CrossFit for me, and I would say working out in general, and, man, maybe this is a way, to me, it doesn't feel like resting.
Yeah.
But it does relieve stress. Stress, for me, builds up energy in my body that I've learned over the years I have to get out. And what I've learned is if I don't get that energy out in some way, it's going to force itself out in unhealthy ways. So, like, temper, or you may be a little more aggravated than you would at time. Like, that's the way it impacts me. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned that exercising that way will get that built-up stress energy out of my body, and I'm actually able to function relationally with people better when I'm working out really hard than when I'm not.
Yeah.
So that's how it applies to me. But, man, I love it. It has shot up the leaderboard for the hobbies.
Yeah. So what would you say is your favorite hobby that you are no longer pursuing? You got into it. You loved it. You just had enough and went to the next thing.
Man, I think probably Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I knew it.
And
that's one we did together.
Like, I would be doing it now. My kids have gotten older, and their activities in our home have taken precedence over mine. And Jonathan did it for a little while, so it made sense to do, like, class times would match up a little bit so that I could do the adult class and he could do the kids class. But when he stopped doing it, another night of the week, me being out, no longer made sense in light of the nights per week that I was also out, like, coaching Josiah's baseball team and things like that. So
yeah,
it became something that was taking me away from my family rather than something that was just helping me recharge. And so I think, in light of our discussion here, when a hobby, when it begins to take you away from your family too much,
yeah,
then that's a red flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so hobbies will take you away a little bit, but, man, I'm one of those people that believe you need alone time.
Yeah.
And you need time to do something that you enjoy. And if that's something that you enjoy involves other people, cool. If it can involve people from your family, even better. But you need something that you enjoy outside of you enjoying work.
Yeah.
So for me, that would be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I love it. It is the best. But I think the sun has set on that just because of where we are in season as a family. So, like, with CrossFit, Jonathan has really loved that, and class times match up. I do the adult, he does the teen class, and those things match up. So I would also put, actually, the streaming in the hobbies I've done that I'm no longer doing right now for the same reason. Work and family stuff in the evenings has just made it impossible to have any type of frequent schedule on that.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah. I can talk about hobbies, like, all day.
We need
this
a hobby
episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would be those two.
And that jiu-jitsu, it is a good, Mary Margaret, I think you should get into it.
Oh, that sounds like a blast and
a
half.
It is a good stress reliever. You put somebody in an arm bar and nearly snap their elbow in half.
Yeah.
That'll get out some aggression.
I believe it.
It will for sure.
Don't cross.
What about
you?
Do you have hobbies for you guys? Are you engaging in any right now?
Mary Margaret?
Oh, gosh. I've never been a great, like, I don't collect hobbies like you do. I feel like I collect people. And so, like, people are my
there
hobby.
You go.
That's strange. Like,
that is not
that
a...
sounds weird. But, like, that, oh, yeah.
I don't... That may not, like, come out the way we wanted it.
No.
Do you have a basement in your house?
No.
Have you collected
not
humans?
Not that way. No. don't know how to get myself out.
Slaughterhouse 15 over here.
Oh, dear.
You're a very relational person.
Yes, I'm a very relational person. And so for me, like, spending time with other people, like, I like a little bit of alone time, but I don't need a ton of it.
Yeah.
And but for me, just conversation, talking, going on a walk with one of my friends, you know, stuff like that, that is very recharging and relaxing for me because I'm a very much a verbal processor. And yeah. So when I can spit out everything that's on my heart and my mind, like just saying those things out loud, it takes my stress level way down. And
yeah,
so so those kinds of things. And I have done like crafty hobbies here and there, but it's just not my forte. Like, I like to read, but right now I'm watching a lot of Netflix, if I'm being honest. And learning golf, I guess I could consider to be a hobby, although Jonathan says it looks like I'm chopping wood with an axe when I try to swing the club. So
gonna need more of an out than a down motion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, I'm not much of a hobby person.
John Paul, what about you right now?
I love to work out. I've always loved to work out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the one that I come back to. I've had other things that have jumped in, but I can always come back to really enjoying working out.
Yeah.
Whether it's lifting, and I've had seasons where I'm a lot bigger than I am now, or most recently it's been swimming, biking, running.
The old triathlon.
Yeah. Not having done any official races.
Yeah.
But trying out all the distances at home, the rec center. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
I like it.
So I think, you know, finding a way to rest or create mind space in the summer, finding a hobby that can be a super helpful, I know it has been for me, super helpful pathway to finding rest.
So there's seven ideas.
Seven ways to rest in the summer.
You get your rest on.
I hope that this has been a helpful episode to you, and I hope that you can implement. In fact, we can put the challenge out there. Make this summer the summer of seven.
Ooh.
These seven things.
Yeah.
And if you have already had some of these happen in your summer, then great. But over the next 8 weeks, try to execute on every one of these seven things.
That's a good challenge.
As a student ministry leader, you can let us know how it's going by reaching us on Twitter at Student Ministry is the overall, at John Paul Basham, at Ben Trueblood, and at Mary Margaret C.
You got it.
There we go. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.